Our theme this evening is feigned words, sure judgment. Feigned words, sure judgment. We saw last time that the apostle is warning against false teachers who would lead them away from that sound doctrine that he would put them in remembrance of as long as he lived, that doctrine that he thought and believed and knew to be so important that they needed to be reminded of it constantly. And the false teachers would lead them away from that false doctrine. And such false teachers, the apostle shows in verse 1, are not new. They existed in the Old Testament in the form of the false prophets. But due to the sinful hearts of men, they would get a keen following. And so in verse 2, many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now the apostle goes further in verse 3. And our first point then is the religiously wicked. The religiously wicked. Verse 3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. The religiously wicked. The apostle speaks of feigned words, and we saw last time that false teachers are generally far from straightforward. And the reason is not difficult to find, because their professed aim and their real aim differ. It's really quite simple. Of course they're not straightforward. Their professed aim and their real aim are different. And therefore there is need of pretense, because what they say they want and aim at is not really what they want. They do not really aim to instruct in the truth for the profit of their hearers, but rather they aim at their own advantage, and therefore they seek to bring others under the spell of their false doctrine to render them amenable and pliable. Or else today, perhaps equally often, they tell people what they want to hear out of self-love in order to secure peace and prosperity for themselves, hence feigned words. But then the apostle says that through covetousness they seek to make merchandise of the church of God. They sought financial gain, and they used the professing church to that end, like an expendable commodity to invest in for their own profit. How often has that happened? How often, even in this very province, religious charlatans have deceived the simple and cleaned them out financially, only heading off to America when they've done as much damage and made as much money as they can. It's happened, it goes on happening, and the reason is because passages like this are not taken seriously. Not all religion is good. Only the truth is good. The only good religion is the true religion of biblical Christianity. And not all religious people are godly. Only those who truly embrace the truth of the Word of God. And so among unconverted religious people are to be found some of the biggest rogues on earth. The love of money or of popularity or of power governs their religious zeal. But the apostle indicates that their judgment is certain. He says, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. It does not always appear swift in our eyes, but it is so with God. And also, when the apostle says that it is swift, and that it does not slumber. Their judgment does not slumber. It is because the Lord, even though he delays, is not slack or careless about bringing judgment against these false teachers. There is nothing casual about God's determining to punish such men. He isn't half asleep or drowsy about it. God has a fixed purpose to judge these men who pervert the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. How differently God views from men. To some, these men were wonderful, but they were utterly corrupt in the sight of God. How closely we ought to be governed by the Scriptures in our assessment of men and movements. And even then we recognize that whilst man looks on the outward appearance, God looks upon the heart. But in looking upon the outward, our assessment must be closely governed by the truth of God. But then, as well as our first point, the religiously wicked, let us consider, secondly, angelic example. Angelic example. Verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment. This is the first of three examples which the apostle gives. We look only at two of them this time. But examples of the sure judgment of God, to show that these men also will not escape. Now, there are many examples of divine judgment in Scripture, but the apostle selects those that were designed to resemble the last judgment in their finality and completeness. Now, concerning the angels that sinned, let us notice that dignity did not deliver. Dignity did not deliver. For if God spared not the angels that sinned. Now, the angels excel in strength. Man is lower than the angels in dignity, in ability, in this present world. But when the angels sinned, when Satan and those with him who became dissatisfied through sin with being subordinate creatures under God the Creator, when they sinned, when they kept not their first estate, when these mighty creatures sinned against God, he spared them not. They are said to be in chains of darkness, like condemned criminals in a dungeon awaiting the day of execution. For whatever they suffer now of the wrath of God, it is only a foretaste. You remember the legion of demons in the herd of swine that addressed the Lord Jesus, "Art thou come to torment us before the time?" And again James tells us, "Thou believest in one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." So the full weight of divine judgment upon the fallen angels is yet future. Now for the angels there is no gospel, there is no message of salvation. Our Lord Jesus Christ took not on him the nature of angels. He took on the seed of Abraham. He became a man. He took a human nature, not an angelic nature. There is no gospel then. There is no message of deliverance for fallen angels. And God spared them not. Now, the point is this. If God did not spare angels that were guilty, will he spare guilty men and guilty women? Will he spare you if you have not Christ as your Savior? He didn't spare the angels that sinned. What makes you think you will escape the judgment of God if you have not found mercy and salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ? And of all men, those who have added to all their sins this great sin, that they have had the message of salvation preached to them and despise it. In fact, these men have done more still. They turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. They abused and twisted and falsified the gospel to other people. But if you are without Christ, if God judges guilty angels, he shall surely judge you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And it is an irreversible judgment. They are said to be reserved in chains of darkness. No escape, no remission. This shows us that God can and does judge irreversibly. The idea that God must give some opportunity of deliverance after sentence is passed is fatally untrue. God can and does condemn eternally and irreversibly. The Lord Jesus will say to the goats on the left hand, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." And that sentence will never be withdrawn or reviewed. Thirdly, a world that perished. A world that perished, verse 5. "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." Let us notice here from this example of the flood in the days of Noah, God's total accuracy in judgment. God's total accuracy. God's judgments often fall in a manner that appears indiscriminate in this world. When God judges nations, often believers as well as unbelievers are swept away, though their death, the death of the believer, has a completely different purpose and meaning to that of the unbeliever. But often God, when he brings calamity upon a people, he appears, though it is not so, but if to the purely visible side of it, it appears to make no distinction sometimes between the godly and the ungodly. But there are certain judgments in Scripture that are meant to stand out, and the flood is one of them, and the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah is another. They are meant to stand out as a special warning, in that God separates the godly from the unbelieving on this side of the grave, in order to show something of the judgment to come, that in judgment he will distinguish between his people and those who know not God. And so Noah and seven others were delivered, but God spared not the old world. And notice, God spared not the old world. And the whole point here is that God judged a whole world, and not one escaped. He can sift grain by grain. Not one without the wedding garment of Christ's righteousness will be accepted or will be delivered at the day of judgment. And we are being taught here that a crowd will not save. A crowd will not save. He spared not the old world. All but eight perished. Their large numbers provided no deliverance, no protection from the anger of a holy God. And nor will it. If you have not Christ as your Savior, take no comfort whatever in the fact that there are multitudes like you that there are many on that broad road that leads to destruction. Take no comfort in that. Find no solace in it. Because if you end up in destruction, it will be no comfort. It will provide no solace whatsoever. When God arises in judgment, He can render the guilty utterly wretched and miserable forever and deprive them of all consolation in any other. And He will. Though hand join in hand, they shall not escape. But then fourthly, a wonderful salvation. A wonderful salvation. Verse 5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. None perish that trust in him. Though God judged the old world, he spared eight. He spared Noah, a preacher of righteousness. In Psalm 91, we are reminded of the accuracy both of God's judgment and yet also of his deliverance. Psalm 91 and verse 7. A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. In Genesis 6, verse 22, we read of the manner of Noah's deliverance. Genesis 6, 22, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. The ark was a foresampling of Christ Jesus, and in Christ there is deliverance. You see, Noah believed God. He believed God and sought salvation as God commanded. Noah believed God when God said that he would bring judgment. Noah believed God, that God punishes sin. Do you believe that? Do you believe what Noah believed, that God punishes sin? You see, the rest, they didn't believe it. They said it'll never happen. God isn't like that. God won't do it. God can't do it. But he did do it. But Noah believed what God said about himself, about sin, about judgment. Do you believe these things? Do you believe this God? This God who says the wages of sin is death? This God who tells you in his word that he is holy, that he does punish, that he does punish everlastingly, that he will do it, that all outside of Christ will perish forever? Do you believe what God has said? Noah heeded what God said about his holy character, about his punishment of sin, and about the way of deliverance. Have you heeded that? You see, only God's way of deliverance is actually true. Others despise the truth about God, about themselves, about coming judgment from God. Do you despise these things? Do you see no need of deliverance? Like the multitude who said, we don't need this ark, that Noah, he's a fool, look at him. And you hear the gospel and you say, oh, we don't need any of this. Be wise and seek mercy and safety in Christ Jesus as God tells you to. You see, all your false hopes, all your wishful thinking, all your false ideas that you cherish about God, somehow that this God will not punish, that he will not prove to be as holy as the Bible says he is. All that delusion, that self-delusion in which you say, no, no, God can't be like that. The preacher says he is, like the Bible says he is. He can't really be like that. All of that self-delusion, it will come to nothing. Isaiah 28 and verse 14. Isaiah 28. You see, if that's the way you think, you're not new. There've been people like you for generations. Isaiah 28 and verse 14. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. There the Lord tells the people, he tells them, yes, there is a foundation stone, a precious stone, the Savior, Christ. Those who believe on him shall not be confounded. But those who take refuge in lies and make a covenant with death and say, I don't need to trust in this sure foundation, I've made my own arrangements and everything will be all right in the end, he says their lies will be shown to be lies. Their covenant with death, that confidence they have, that sureness, that bravado, that they'd got it worked out, they were going to be all right, and they were sure they could afford to take their chance when it comes. All of that will be shown to be utterly worthless. And all your false hopes and wishful thinking will be brought to nothing. God spared not the angels that sinned. God spared not guilty angels. He spared not the old world. He spared not the dignified angels with their might and strength. He spared not the old world in its great numbers. And he will not spare you unless you are found in Christ's righteousness, unless you are found in him with all your hope and confidence in the Savior. Because this great God, this holy God of judgment, spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for all his people as the substitute of sinners. And you must hide in him and seek forgiveness from God only on account of his merits as the substitute of sinners who bore the wrath of God in the place of sinners. Outside of Christ, God will not spare you. But in Christ, we have nothing to fear. We have nothing that should make us dismayed. In Christ we can face this great God in all his holiness and justice and know that all shall be well. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Seek forgiveness. Seek mercy. Seek it in Christ Jesus. And if you seek it in him, you will surely find. Amen.